I'd like to tell you, I think the butterflies are in formation now. I would like to tell you about three mums in the Bible that'll show us some ways of being a great mum. The first one is Timothy's mum. Can anybody tell me Timothy's mum's name? Children thirsty. Anybody can tell me Timothy's mum's name? Okay, kids of all ages, Timothy's mum's name. Eunice, that's right. And do you know her mum's name? Go for it, Dee. Lois, that's right. Look, you're excused if you didn't really know that, because their names are only mentioned once in the Bible, in one verse. Thank you, Jen. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. That was Paul speaking to Timothy. Then in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, not named, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. It appears that Eunice, Timothy's mum, was the parent that brought Timothy up where his faith was concerned. She was recognised for her faith in God, as was her mother. What a heritage. And as he grew up, Timothy was recognised for the same thing and picked out by the Apostle Paul to go on many great adventures with him. What made Eunice special and great and fantastic and remembered throughout history was that she was a faith-filled woman. She was a faith-filled mum. And she passed that on to her son. She trained Timothy up in faith in God. She taught him. She led by example. She lived her life out before him in a way that caused him to develop the same faith and the same love for Jesus. Don't know whether you noticed, but our kids tend to imitate us in very many ways. Sometimes you hear your words coming out of your little one's mouth. They even get the tone right and the body language. I thought you... I was reminded of Sophia when she was, I think she was about 5 or 6 years old, and she was out in Illuminate, and a younger kid next to her was really having a rough time. Life was not good to this younger one. And I think the younger one was moaning a bit, because I heard report that Sophia said, life's tough. Suck it up. But there's also a little man that has wandered around here at 18 months, bending down, picking up with his little fingers a tiny piece of fluff or paper and handing it to his mum, saying, mess. We have a huge responsibility to be a good example, not a terrible warning, in so many ways for our children. The most important one is we show them how faith in God and a personal relationship with him is vital for their future relationships generally, their future relationship with Jesus, life. I have a lasting memory of my mum, who I told you on a previous Mother's Day prays for me, us. It's not just her three daughters, it's now an extended family, but she prays for us every day. In her words, her memory is shot, but she remembers to pray for us. But one of my early memories of her was that every day for a season, she got up really early to pray. My mum is not an early riser, never has been. But I remember coming down for my breakfast in the morning and find my mum in her dressing gown sitting on the floor with her back against the radiator to keep warm, praying. What an example. Oh, sit against the radiator, but yes, praying. And she went against what would be her natural choice and actually disciplined herself to get up to pray. Jude 20 and 21 says in the Amplified Bible, "But you beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and wait patiently for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you into eternal life." And in the Message, which is a bit shorter, but it says, "But you, dear friends, but you, dear mums, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master, Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life." So how do we build ourselves up in our faith? These verses imply that it's step by step, brick on brick, build up the edifice. Build it up so it goes higher and higher, day by day. You don't get there. It's not a package that just you open up and it's all ready. You have to build on it. You have to work on it day by day. It tells us to pray in the Holy Spirit, to keep ourselves in the center of his love, or guard and ensure that we stay there, and to be expectant for his mercy in our lives. So, we fantastic mums pray. We read his word. When you're really, really busy, sitting down and reading the word is a bit of a difficulty. I suggest getting an audio of the word. Listen to it when you're doing the school run, when you're working in the kitchen. Listen to it. Meditate on his word. Stay in fellowship with his people. We need our faith built up all the time. When you're going through a rough time, I think I've said this before, but it's a phrase that a lady I knew years ago stuck. When you're feeling low, when you're feeling like you're getting to the end, or you're just not knowing how to deal with a situation, or you need your faith building up, keep in company of balcony people, not basement people. And being in fellowship with his family is one way. We can't all be balcony people all the time, but when we're in God's presence, there is an opportunity to worship and praise and have our faith built up. It may feel in really busy times, mums, that our times with the Lord, devotional times, our waiting on him and praying, are more like a fast meal than fine dining, gourmet meal, where you can enjoy your company, enjoy the person you're having your meal with. Am I making a reasonable sort of analogy here? It's rushed. It's not slowly enjoyed. You might feel like you don't even taste it. It's eaten so fast and on the trot. But just as we can't stop eating for prolonged periods, it's essential that we continue to take our necessary sustenance from him. Snacks and fast food will suffice for a season. But remember, you need to take a really good, nutritious meal every now and then. And it's important that we make time in this busy time of your lives, especially when they're really tiny and running around and you feel like you're just doing this and not stopping. Opportunity, take a hold of it to sit down and enjoy a gourmet meal with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus, and enjoy it and draw from it all the nutrition you need, because it might be KFC or McDonald's for a short while. Yes. It's a season. or should I say it's a time. Seasons tend to do this and come back again, but it's a time that you just need to get through. The Lord understands. He knows you can't pray for an hour at a time sometimes, and yeah, the quick short snacks work as well. As we build ourselves up in our faith and we concentrate on Jesus and his kingdom first, then all these other things that make us fantastic mums and come easier, or they follow along behind us, like being a good example, like having love, joy, peace, patience, an even temper, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, fruits of the Spirit that, as we spend time with him, they develop. Proverbs 31 woman, otherwise known as is described in Proverbs 31 verse 26 as opening her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. That one has always been a bit of a challenge to me about every time I open my mouth, it should be kindness that comes out. But yes, all of this stuff is essential for us who know Jesus. To be great mums, we need to be building up our faith, building ourselves up in our holy faith. So you can read all sorts of books, articles, and advice from experts. You can be available to be involved with your children, to train them, to nurture them, to discipline them, to build them up, and all the rest of it. It all becomes easier as our relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is developed. And we become more and more dependent on him, the Holy Spirit, and his promptings. As Malcolm preached last week, the Holy Spirit within us is eternal. He's all-knowing. He's the greatest teacher, the greatest search engine. He's all-powerful. He's always present. He's everywhere. If you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to that one online. We have that Holy Spirit within us, and he helps us with all day-by-day issues, big and small, ordinary, extraordinary. We can draw on him for wisdom, patience, answers to the why, mummy, why, mummy, why, mummy, why, mummy, energy, wisdom, and patience. And we have it. As we sang this morning, Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in him. So I encourage you, think of Eunice. She was an example of faith. It was passed on to her son, and it was recognized. We have a lot to pass on to our children. The next mom that I wanted to speak about is Jochebed. Anybody know whose mom she is? Oh, come on. Grown-up kids, who's Jochebed? Whose mom is she? Moses' mom. Yes, thank you. His dad had an even funnier name, Amram. Moses was born, I'm telling you a story, children, okay? Moses was born at a time when his people, who were also God's people, the Hebrews, were slaves to the Egyptians. God was blessing the Hebrews and they were growing in numbers. This scared the Egyptians, so the king, or the Pharaoh, made a law that all Hebrew baby boys, when they were born, they must be killed. And that's when Moses was born. In Exodus 1, verse 2, it tells us that Jochebed, funny named mommy, Jochebed saw that Moses, depending on which version of the Bible you read, it says he was a fine child, not an ordinary child, a beautiful child. He was different. The Lord pointed out to Jochebed, there's something on this little boy's life. And she saw something different and special. So she hid him for 3 months, then built a special basket that was waterproofed and set him in the reeds on the River Nile. Quite a brave thing to do. 3-month-old baby, and you just... But she didn't just set Moses adrift. I really believe she planned this one out and God prompted her to do this thing. I can't see any mom just setting their child adrift. she arranged for his big sister to be in the reeds nearby, and I'm pretty certain she knew that was where Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, came down to the river each day. Doesn't say that, but just as you see the story unfold, I'd say God has definitely got his finger and he's moving things around here and prompting Jochebed. She trusted God, who'd made Moses special and out of the ordinary, to save him from this decree that the king had said, kill all baby boys, Hebrew baby boys. So, when the princess found Moses, Miriam was able to step out and say, when she heard the princess wanted to keep Moses, Miriam was able to step out and say, would you like me to find somebody to look after him? The princess agreed, and Moses was actually looked after and brought up in the first few years. Well, until he was weaned. I don't know what that was in Hebrew times, but anyway, brought up by his mom, brought him up as a Hebrew. And I have one funny picture that I saw years and years ago. I wonder whether Jochebed had to deal with that. Somebody's just got it, right. Then, after he'd been with his mom for a while, he then moved into the Egyptian palace, where he learned the Egyptian way of life. The rest of Moses' story is well known. He was used by God to save God's people and rescue them from slavery. Jochebed and Amram had recognized something different in Moses. Now, Malcolm and I have brought this, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Every child, every person is special. We all have abilities, gifts, personality traits, etc., etc., that are particular to us. God's placed those things in us for a reason. And Malcolm and I have used this scripture very often when we're talking about destiny and bringing up children. It's Proverbs 22, verse 6. In the Amplified Version, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. In the Message, it says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. But it's that bit, in keeping with his individual gift or bent, that is important. That's what Moses and Amram saw. Jochebed and Amram saw in Moses. They knew there was something different on their child. There's something different on your children. And our job as mums, as fantastic mums, is in amongst it all, is to try and pick out those ones that God's placed there. When Jenny was very little, sitting on the back seat of the car, she must have been older, but when it started, it was about three. I remember driving along and hearing this little voice singing a completely unknown tune. I couldn't hear the words because it was quite low, quite quiet in the background. But it started at a certain age, and it continued. But early on, I said, Jenny, are you singing? What are you singing? My song. Well, I'm ashamed to admit that I hadn't actually recognized something there, but thankfully her Heavenly Father recognized it and encouraged her himself, because she has written a number of worship songs since. But yeah, I missed that one. Both girls were pretty musical when they were young. They actually didn't stand much of a chance. While they were still in utero, they were jammed up against the keyboard every week. But they they had this musical, a musicality like a lot of kids do. I encouraged them to learn the piano, not to learn like I had, where I had to go through classical training, I had to have exams, I had to do all that sort of thing. I think it's important you don't push your desires onto your kids. It's the reading them, not telling them on this sort of development. But I encouraged them to have lessons. They didn't have to do all the exams, but I said, if you can play the piano, you can play any instrument. And I think I was right on that one. Am I right or am I? No. And so they've both developed their love for music and learned other instruments too. I did pick that one up and I did encourage it. So there is a destiny in God for each of our children which he has skilled them for. So as much as we are able, we need to encourage and develop those skills. Joshua, with his incredible balance, and he's only just started to walk this week. You don't know, might be the tightrope. No. So along with all the stuff of nurturing, training, teaching, loving, having fun, ask God for wisdom and ability to pick these things up. Quite a few of the props that have gone out there could be appropriate for this example I'm talking about. You know, you develop the things in our children. Last one. I'm doing okay. The watch does work. Samson's mum. I'll admit this is a trick question. Anybody know her name? Got it in 1D. She wasn't named. She was known as Manoah's wife and Samson's mum. I think she's a pretty amazing lady. In Judges 13, the story goes like this. Manoah and his wife couldn't have any children. An angel of the Lord visited the wife and told her that he knew all about her situation, but she would have a child that she and Manoah must bring up in a very special way. He was to be a person called a Nazirite. And those people were people that had made a vow to God to keep themselves separate. And when he was older, he was going to save the Israelites from their enemies, the Philistines. Part of being a Nazirite was that the child or the person can't eat anything unclean or drink any alcohol, even eat anything from the vine, so they couldn't eat raisins or grapes or anything like that. Nor was he to have his hair cut or shave. So after Manoah's wife, Samson's mom, heard this, she went and told Manoah, but he needed to hear for himself. So he said, let's pray and ask the angel to come back and tell us. This was completely left field from him, for him, and he wasn't certain he believed her, I think. That's my So they prayed and asked God to confirm this. The angel visited again, but he just repeated exactly, word for word, you can read it, what he'd said the first time to Manoah's wife. So he said it to both of them. And Manoah offered to make him a meal and to eat with them. The angel said he wouldn't eat any of their food, but they could make a burnt offering to God if they wanted. So that's what they did. And as the burnt offering smoke was going up, the angel went up with the smoke, and Manoah was, we're going to die. We've just seen God. And then in the Amplified Bible, it says, but Manoah's sensible wife, Manoah's sensible wife said, said, God surely won't kill us because he's accepted our burnt offering and he's given us a task. It turned out that she was already pregnant with Samson at that point. When I read that, I was thinking of another story I heard in this church not so many weeks ago, where Danny was standing here and he was talking about the house that they managed to get, but the long story leading up to it. And it was his sensible wife, when he was losing faith that they were ever going to get the house, It was his sensible wife who said, God has said, so he will do it. So yeah, there we go. So Manoah's wife was the sensible woman, the one that had seen through the whole situation and seen God was doing something here. So Samson's mum brought him up as God had told her. She did all she could. When he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, he became very strong. Do you remember the story? He got long, long hair, became very, very strong, won loads of battles, killed lots of the enemy. Didn't save the Israelites completely from the Philistines yet, but he did an awful lot. But as he grew up, he also deliberately went against the requirements of being a Nazarite. The scripture tells us that God knew this was all going to happen, but anyway, he made really bad choices. Till in the end, it looked like the enemies he was supposed to be beating for the Israelites had actually won. He was their prisoner with his hair shaved off, which is a sign of the source of his strength, blind and weak as anything. But at the very end of his life, his hair had grown back again. He was still a prisoner, but he was taken to a big stadium where all his enemies were celebrating. And he asked God to strengthen him again, one final time, to beat his enemies. And the Holy Spirit came on him, put his hands against the pillars, and the Holy Spirit strengthened him again. And he achieved what God had said he would do when he first spoke to his mom, and that was to save the Israelites from the Philistines in that one push. I'm sure it was a bit of an effort, but with that one push, he killed more of the enemy than he had done in his whole lifetime with all the big fights he'd done. As our children get older and make their own decisions, we might find they go off the track a bit in their walk with the Lord, in their destiny. And at these times, we must continue to pray, to continue bringing them to their Heavenly Father, continue loving them and believing they'll make the right choices in God for their lives. Samson's mum must have been devastated. I've done all of that. And now he's deliberately. I did everything God told me. I did everything that was requested of me. And then he's just gone and walked off and made his own bad choices. It doesn't say in scripture how Samson's mum handled all of this, but I believe from the very first part of the story, she had an understanding of her God and a faith that caused her to obey him. And God had miraculously given her a baby boy. And so she knew that God was in control, and she just continued to pray for him. Samson had made his own choices. When I was thinking of that, I thought of a lady we know, and actually you're going to be meeting her in a couple of weeks' time when Ken and Michelle Grenfell come and minister to us. I'll let Michelle tell the story. I asked her permission to give this story. I remember hearing it a long, long time ago. That sounds awful. 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And this is Michelle's words. The Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he'll not depart from it. With that in mind, and that I come from a wonderful family and honestly never rebelled, it didn't even cross my mind that my kids might. But they did, both of them. I kept thinking they'd not backslide further, but they did. It totally broke my heart to the deepest core. It is one of the most painful seasons I've walked through. I asked God why. Fatal mistake, smiley face. After asking God why a number of times, God spoke clearly to me, and it was very firm. He said, do not ask me why again. It was one of those lines, you know, you don't cross. So I didn't. In time, I realize that if you continue in that vein, you move from asking God questions to questioning God. A huge difference. My heart was so very sore, all I could do was go to God. Being in the ministry, it makes things feel worse. It seemed like every pastor's meeting and places we would go to minister, we heard all these amazing testimonies of the pastor's kids. But then there were ours. I'm passionate about children, and we've given up much in life for our children. I loved being a mother every moment and never struggled with it from day one. Now I was in this place. But our Father is so very faithful. I came across a book, The Fullness of Joy by Charles Spurgeon. I'm not a reader, but I knew God said, read this book. I took it page by page. The Word, worship, and that book. I focused on God, and he gave me joy in the midst of trial. Slowly, I started changing. My kids were still going down, but God was pulling me out of the miry clay. I'd prayed much for the kids. I'd pleaded with God. I'd begged, I'd praised, I'd prayed every way I knew, but still they were going the wrong way. But now, as I was walking in the joy of the Lord, I learned to pray from a different place. I had entrusted the kids again and again to the Lord, but now I had peace and trust as I kept my eyes on him alone. I prayed the Word. I would take the Word and write out prayers, filling in their names, and in between, filling in circumstances, their hearts, etc., but kept the Word the center. I prayed with this with a new authority. I prayed from heaven down. I worshipped over the children. God showed me through prophetic words that we needed to ask a team of people to pray with us. She'd never done that before. She felt very awkward, she said. We arranged that, and slowly, between praying differently and having a team praying too, the kids began to turn. Then, just in the fragile state of that turn, God called us to America. In the natural, it seemed like the worst time to come. The kids were just beginning to turn. My mum was dying, but the call of God was clear, and we came to America. The kids didn't want to come and were at an age that they could make that decision. But God, another smiley face. Within 6 months, my daughter was here. For a time, she'd go back and only come back years later. Clayton, their son, called Ken about scriptures within 6 months and did a 100% radical turn. Today, he leads the church we planted in the States. Don't give up. So I encourage you, ladies, build yourselves up step by step, day by day, brick by brick, into an increasing stronger faith in him. Lean hard on the Holy Spirit. Learn to defer to him and listen to him to help you in every mothering situation. Keep praying for your children and watch out for those giftings and those interests and those talents developing. Show them how to live a faith-filled life by modeling it and teaching them. Introduce them to Jesus at a young age. Introduce them to his words and teach them to listen to the Holy Spirit too. Keep praying as they grow. Remember, Christ is enough, and he is everything we need. You never stop being a mom, but you're all doing a great job.